The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you, for him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The angel said to me, those words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the word of the prophecy written in this scroll. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I have heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets, and will all who keep the word of this scroll worship God. Then he told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this scroll, because the time is near. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right, and let the holy person continue to be holy. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And this is the end part that I'm reading. Blessed are those who wash their robes, and that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes away words from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away the person and his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord God be with God's people. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. A few months ago, my friend Alan Olson, Carissa Howe, and I sat down, and this was kind of when we had all assumed that we were going to be online, worshiping online for a while, and we started to imagine and dream what it would look like for the three of us to collaborate on a sermon series. So the first thing that we had to do was we had to pick a book of the Bible that we wanted to work on together. And after tossing around a couple of ideas, my friend Alan said, hey, what do you guys think about preaching on Revelation? I will admit I was not immediately excited about this idea. Revelation is a really difficult book to preach on. There's a lot of weird images and metaphors and things that have been misinterpreted throughout history. So to try to convince me that we should do this, Alan started playing a song on his computer. He actually started playing The Eve of Destruction. I was not super familiar with this song because it came out in 1965. But the gist of this song is that the world is going to hell and we are on the eve of destruction. The refrain goes, "You tell me over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we are on the eve of destruction." Alan told me that when Eve of Destruction was released, it was both a big hit and hated at the same time. A few people actually started recording responses to this song, one of which being a song of hope that was released by the Back Porch Majority. And it is this kind of happy, peppy, folky song, and its refrain goes, "I tell you over and over again, we're gonna make it if we try." Now, I don't know how this song sounded in 1965, but it sounds kind of hokey and a little bit corny now. It almost sounds like it was written by somebody who was watching the news with their eyes covered and their ears blocked. Now, on the other hand, Eve of Destruction can sound a little bit hokey and maybe a little bit bombastic now, because, you know, 55 years after the song was released, the world hasn't ended, but it's still a memorable song. Friends, I think the book of Revelation is polarizing in much the same way the song Eve of Destruction was. I know there are a few of you that really love Revelation. At our Bible study on Thursday, one of the participants said that reading Revelation was how she came to know Jesus. But for some people, Revelation is a book that they only read once every couple years when the pastor makes them. Some of us are kind of scared off by the nightmarish visions. Many of us are confused and frustrated by just what John of Patmos, the author of Revelation, is trying to tell us. I haven't really preached from Revelation yet. I didn't really feel comfortable preaching a sermon about sorcerers, fornicators, and idolaters. But, you know, it's the first time for everything. Interestingly, though, this weird and oddly specific prophecies in the book of Revelation seem to speak to our troubled times. In the last couple months, more than one person has asked me, "Pastor, do you think all of the stuff that's going on in our world was predicted in Revelation?" My friends Alan and Carissa have been hearing a variation of that question as well. So we decided, hey, let's spend the summer with Revelation. Let's see what these prophecies have to say to us in our time and in our place. Now, I want to start by saying that I don't think Revelation is a code to be unraveled. I don't think it necessarily tells us when and if and how the world is going to end. I think it does contain prophecies that point us towards a faithful response to God's love in a broken world. Every week, we're going to spend a little bit of time looking specifically at the text, which means some weeks we're going to be looking a bit at what it said in its original Greek. This week, we're going to spend some time with the first word in Revelation, which is the title, which in Greek is the word apocalypsis. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, which means apocalypse in English. What's interesting about this word is we frequently translate apocalypse to mean end times. But if you look in the original Greek, there, apocalypse is often translated as a revealing or a clarifying. of something. So it doesn't necessarily mean end of the world. It's more about John revealing Jesus' action and authority as this new creation is unfolding all around us. What's interesting is nowhere in the Bible does it talk about the end of the world, even though we could read into that when we're reading books like Daniel or Revelation. So if apocalypse doesn't mean end of the world, what is John trying to say by choosing this title for the book? I think it's more helpful to think of Revelation as a revealing of truth. In a time when we are feeling opened up, unburdened, enlightened from all of the things that make it hard for us to see, Revelation is kind of doing that same thing to first century Christians. When we were talking during our planning call this week, when we were putting this sermon together, my friend Carissa kind of compared Revelation to Saul when he's on the road to Damascus. So if you remember in that story, Saul is this devout Jewish scholar, I guess is the right word, and he's persecuting people who are not abiding to the letter of the law. So then on the road to Damascus, he is blinded by God, and God reveals to him that he has been misguided and that Jesus is the true king. And he has this conversion experience, and he changes his name from Saul to Paul. In the same way, Revelation is not something that we uncode. It's more something that happens to us. It's more God revealing who God is to us through these strange metaphors and images. So instead of thinking of apocalypse as the end of the world, think of it more as a revelation, a conversion experience. Now, having said all of that, I think it's really easy to assume that we are living in some kind of end time right now. And we sort of are. What I mean by that is I don't think the world is ending tomorrow, but I do think that this pandemic is revealing to us problems that were bubbling beneath the surface that we couldn't really see before this happened. Things like unequal access to healthcare or resources. But more importantly, I think this pandemic is forcing the church to rethink church. Something that we've been thinking about for decades now, but this pandemic is really bringing to light. One of the great blessings of this pandemic for me is I get to work with two of my colleagues, one who is serving a church in another state, as we're putting together our online services. So in addition to thinking about like how is an online service different than an in-person service, it's also really fun to hear what other pastors are doing and kind of think about what are the similarities and differences in that approach. So yeah, we are living in an apocalyptic time, but not in a it's all ending, Jesus is coming back and trumpets are blasting kind of way, but more in the Paul on the road to Damascus in need of a serious conversion kind of way. So take a deep breath. This doesn't mean that we're all headed to hell in a handbasket. But it does mean that we kind of have to rethink what we mean when we're talking about apocalypse. I think that the good news that this scripture passage offers for us is that it shows us that Revelation is ultimately a book about Jesus, about who Jesus is, how Jesus relates to creation, and about how we are to respond to Jesus' action in our lives. I really think that Revelation is a profoundly hopeful book. It is a book that bears witness through very strange signs and metaphors to God's sovereignty over all creation. When I read Revelation, I see God manifest in the person of Jesus Christ as one who is in absolute control over all things. What I mean by this is while we will face trials and tribulations and dragons, God is ultimately going to be victorious. God is actively working to restore creation to its intended glory. Because God loves us so much, God has the first and God has the final say in all of creation. Our hope for you is that when life feels overwhelming this summer, you can find comfort in God's sovereignty in the midst of uncertainty. I think this good news gives us great freedom to be flexible in the midst of trials and tribulations. I know I mentioned a minute or two ago, but one area where we're able to be flexible right now is how we think about church. My small churches have resumed in-person worship. Alan's church is much bigger than ours, and he's in New Jersey, so he has different limitations on gathering in person. So his church has decided that they're going to meet once a month for an outdoor service, and then the other Sundays they're going to meet virtually. Carissa's churches, she's here in Pittsburgh, they've decided that they would like to keep meeting virtually for now. Both all of these different models have freed us from the constraints of how we always do church and have allowed us to breathe new life and creativity into how we think about worship. Another thing that's been really fun about working with Alan and Carissa is we all bring different gifts to the table as preachers and as pastors. Alan is kind of the nerd of our group, and he's always encouraging us to look at the text in a different way, to think about what the word means in its original language, to read this or that commentary. Carissa is the one who produces our videos, and she has been yelling at me all week about making sure my microphone is on and that I record next time in, landscape, not horizontal. I recorded it wrong this week. I have to fix it for next week. My job is to make sure that we kind of stay on task and we get everything done so that the secretaries are not having to put things together on Saturday morning. So my job is to kind of keep the train moving at a good pace. But what's been really fun about this is it kind of breaks you out of your rut or out of what you're used to doing. And even though it's more work, I think it produces a better sermon and a better worship experience. One thing that all three of us have agreed on is the great blessing of this pandemic is that it has taught us that the church is not just her building, but the church is her people supporting one another in whatever is going on in the world around them. I know for our offertory question this week, I asked you all to reflect on if or how or when you know that God is in control of your life. When I ask you guys to do this, I like to share a little bit about what I learned when I reflected on this question. So if God is in control, then I can be flexible with when and how I worship. I can embrace opportunities for virtual connection and collaboration. I can clarify the essential things that are part of putting a worship service together, versus the things that we just do because we've always done them. I can be open to the movement of the Spirit in my life and community. I can let go of the things that exist outside of my control. I have no control over what guidelines are handed down by the county, just as I have no control over the weather over the summer. Friends, Carissa, Alan, and I are excited to collaborate with you this summer as we do this deep dive into Revelation. I hope that you will follow along with the Revelation reading plan. I have some copies laid out in the back for you. If you have any questions about what you're reading, I encourage you to bring those questions with you to Thursday afternoon Bible study. We're planning to leave some time and space. If you've read something that just makes no sense to you, we can work through it together. We're looking forward to learning what Revelation has to teach us during this strange and unique moment in our history. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people.
Amen.